is like having money. Once you have it, many of life's limitations kind of disappear. The things you always wanted to do, no matter how simple they are, maybe you have been incapacitated and unable to walk down the street or run around the block or cook a meal or stand to your feet. Or maybe it's been a long time since you laid down in your bed and got a good night's sleep and weren't disturbed by the pains in your back. But whatever the ailment is, you find that once you are healed, all of your limitations are taken away, and that's power, because it presents to you new opportunities that you have never had before. You can do things you couldn't do before. You can go places that you couldn't go before. You can possess things that before you only dreamed of. So healing takes with it a power that we all desire. It is just like having money. And Solomon said that money solves all things. Whatever you want and you don't have it, guess what? You can buy it. Amen. So healing, when we are healed, is kind of like having money, because there's some things that we wanted that we couldn't get a hold of. But now they are within our reach. Hallelujah. Healing also has a glory. And although this glory often goes and should go to God, unfortunately or fortunately, whichever you perceive, healing brings with it to the one having been healed a certain amount of celebrity status, because people see the one who used to be sick and is sick no more. They see the one who was lame but now is able to walk. They see the one who was blind but now is able to see. And everybody wants to interview you and find out how it feels now to be made whole. How does it feel? Everybody's curious, and you have become the center of attraction. You are now the celebrity because Jesus has healed your infirmity. Whew. We find this very evidence in the life, or should I say the new life, of a very good friend of Jesus. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus, as you know, was one who was the brother of Mary and Martha. And the Bible says that Jesus loved him. That was his friend. And they sent for Jesus to come and heal their brother. And Jesus waited a little while. He didn't heal him right away. He waited until Lazarus had actually died Because sometimes Jesus wants to give you more than you're bargaining for. I often say we're sometimes looking for a healing when Jesus is looking for a resurrection. He wants to do something greater than just heal your body. But that means that you've got to be willing to go through something greater than you intended on going through. Because, Lazarus was already sick and he didn't want to die. But Jesus said, you have to go through this thing called death because I've got a great work I'm going to do in you. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so Lazarus lay in the tomb after 4 days, and they knew he was dead because the Bible said he's stinking now. We know he's dead. And so Jesus then called out to him and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And finally he came out. And then he said to him, take the grave clothes off of him. And for this, Lazarus became the talk of the town. Because we read on later that when they had a supper there in the house, so there were many who came to see Jesus. But they say there were a lot of people who came just to see Lazarus because he was the new celebrity in town, having been resurrected from the dead. So when we are here, we acquire some type of celebrity status. And that can be good, that can be bad, depending on what's in your heart. Be sure to give all the glory to God. Today, as then, healing experiences have often served as the springboard to ministry, validating the faith of the one who was healed. It kind of says that the one who was healed, that he or she really knows God and has faith in God. So with the healing experience, there comes this third aspect. There is not only power, there's not only a glory, but there is also a responsibility for one who hopes to be healed. And so it is as with money. One who is in possession of health has a responsibility to God who gave it to him and gave to his fellow man who needs some of it and to himself in order to keep it. You now have something that you got from God. It is your health. You didn't get it on your own. God gave it to you. You have a responsibility now to take it and use it to help somebody else, not only just to do what you want to do, but to share the newfound power that you have to help those who are either seeking the same thing and maybe are unable to get it, but you got to take your health and do something for somebody else. How many understand that this morning? It is almost a prerequisite that when you receive healing from God, that you're required to do something with it to honor God if you want to keep it. Receiving healing is sometimes like receiving money Receiving it is one thing. Keeping it is something else. Like those who freely received and are recipients of help in the time of need, there's often a tendency to want to sit on our healing, glory in what has been done for us, claim it as our own, but refuse to break free from the crutch that is preventing it in the first place. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. Now we see men healed who return to the wheelchair. Who are mended but return to the crutch. Delivered but who return to the chains. Detoxed only return to drugs. Sobered only to return to drink. Forgiven just to sin again. And so the great question comes, what will you do with your body once you have been healed? Anybody got any ailments this morning? Some stuff you just want to get rid of? I know it's more than one person with ailments this morning. Amen. You got some stuff in your life that you need to be healed of. My question is, what are you going to do with your health when you get healed? What do you want to do? Now we are living in this age of health consciousness. And everybody wants to be lean and mean, slim and trim. I want to ask you, what are you going to do with your new lean, mean body? What you going to do with your new slim, trim figure? Are you becoming lean and mean and slim and trim so that you can become a better servant of the Most High God? Or do you want to become slim and trim so that you can become a magnet toward the opposite sex and lure men and women into adulterous relationships? What are you going to do with your new healthy body when you get it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the body is for the Lord. And therefore, when you have health, you have an occasion to glorify God in an unrestricted manner. There's nothing stopping you. There's nothing stopping a healthy person from giving God all the glory that they're able to. But sometimes healthy people want to take a part of that health and use it for their own selfish ambition. Oh, you enjoy being healthy, so you want to take that healthy body and lay out on the beach or go down and go on a cruise and waste time sitting in the sun. And that's all right. And you can sit in the sun for hours and hours. But if somebody says to you, come on, let's go to church and serve God, you say that 2 hours is too long. Hallelujah. What you going to do with that body once you get it? Now that you no longer need that crutch and you can strut down the street like everybody else, what's going to be the first place you visit? You go into the club or you go into church? Where are you going to take them new legs that you got? Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. That back is no longer hurting. Hallelujah. You can stand up straight. You can sit up straight with no pain. Hallelujah. Now, what you gonna do now that you can sit up straight and now that you can stand up straight? Will you spend all your time sitting up in the chair watching the television? Hallelujah. Or will you give some time sitting in the pews? Hallelujah. Amen. God's good, isn't he? He heals our body. Hallelujah. And it is our responsibility that once we receive healing, we do that we ought to do as Jesus asked the man to do who was sick of the palsy. He said, go home, go to your house. Why? Because there's going to be some folk there who want to see you, see the new man that Jesus has made you to be. The new man that Jesus has created you to be. And when they see this new man, they will understand that there's some stuff in them that needs to be healed. Whether it's healing, deliverance, or whether it's just that as that man, they need to have their sins forgiven. They may find that when they begin to interview you and ask you questions, how did you get healed? You will have to be honest and say, you know, he never really told me. To be well. It was a strange kind of fella. He said to me, my sins are forgiven. And when he said that, I felt like everything in me began to rejoice. Everything in me that was wrong began to come out. Hallelujah. Everything that once was not right became right. And all he said to me was, thy sins be forgiven. Healing came all by itself at the behest of the command of Christ. And as Christ commands sin to leave your body, everything in it that's wrong has got to get out. Sometimes we are decrepit because there are agents there that have no business being there, corrupting the natural processes. And Jesus is saying to everybody in here today, your sins are forgiven. And once it touches you in your, once you really understand that your sins are forgiven, when it really touches on the inside and you begin to realize it and you internalize those words, my sins are forgiven. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with me because my sins are forgiven. There is nothing in me that can be, that can stay in me that's not right. So how many want everything in them that's not right to get right right now? Hallelujah. The word to you is your sins are forgiven. And that means that no matter what's going on in the inside of you, he has taken everything that is in you that's not right out of you. And I speak in the name of Jesus that everything that is in us today that is not right, that Jesus will deliver us from it right now. Hallelujah. 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 That we may be better equipped to serve the Lord. That we will have the energy required to be the children of God and to serve him day and night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get tired because we don't have the stamina that is required of us even to make it through the ordinary things in the daytime. The ordinary things of life. We get tired quickly. Because there's something on the inside wearing us down. I speak against that thing right now. And I speak the energy and life of Christ to propel us to the point where we have the strength to do, hallelujah, what God is calling us to do. Hallelujah. We call forth the joy of the Lord into our hearts, because the Bible said the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm happy. The joy of the Lord. We need the joy of the Lord to strengthen us, those who are weak. And the Bible says, let the weak say, what? I am strong. Hallelujah. Will you give God some glory by using the new strength that is in your body? Hallelujah. I believe strength is going out right now. I think it's coming down out of heaven, coming into us. Healing is coming into us this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says this. Is there any sick among you? Hallelujah. Call for the elders of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they anointing him with oil, say the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. That not only means the prayer of the elders, but that means your prayer, the prayer that you pray. How much faith do you have that God can heal you? Hallelujah. You know, Jesus went places where he couldn't do anything. Yeah. Because of their little faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning, have faith that Christ, hallelujah, is healing you, that your sins are forgiven. When you understand that your sins are forgiven, that means that no corruption can live in you. If it's in there, it's got to come out. If it's broken, it's got to be fixed. I don't care where it is. It might be in the kidney. It might be in the liver. It might be in the heart. It might be in the blood. It might be somewhere in the brain. It might be hiding somewhere else. But I speak to the enemy right now in all of his hiding places, that there is no hiding place from the word of God. In the name of Jesus, every enemy of the people of God, I command you now, I tear down your altars. The altars that you have erected against God's people, I tear them down right now in the name of Jesus, and command you to come out of them, and that they may be restored to perfect health. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are whole, we are healed, we are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are not bound. We will never be bound by you. We are not bound. You have no hold on us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We are not weak. We are strong. Hallelujah. Because his strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It's not us. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives. Hallelujah. The strength of Christ is greater than the weakness of men. In the name of Jesus, I pray that healing come upon this congregation right now in the name of Jesus. No matter what the malady, no matter what the infirmity, no matter what it is, that the healing blood of Jesus, have the power of Jesus come down and touch every soul now. Infuse your life, O Lord, for you are the, hallelujah, you are the light that shines in the darkness. For you said you are the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. Lord, in the name of Jesus, the darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. And we call forth the light of Christ into our lives right now. We thank you, Father, and we bless your holy and righteous name. Hallelujah. Let everybody say, I'm healed. I'm whole. I love Jesus. And I love the Father. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that does a work in me, who lifts up the Father and lifts up the Son, who abides in me forever. I am healed. I am whole. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.